Blog Talk Radio.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure cool, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the Sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything that's in between them is our home. And we may have done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. 'Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure cool, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, everybody, to the Disinspected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, the Disrespected Trucker. And I have with me my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how you doing this fine Thursday evening?
If you are the Disrespected Trucker, am I the less disrespected trucker? Do I command more respect? How does that work, Jer?
It works how I say it works. So, yeah, that's what it is. You're less disrespected.
Damn straight.
Hey, you guys, we got a great show for you lined up tonight. We're going to get into some pretty heavy stuff. We're going to get into extensively into the Kim Potter case. I didn't get to follow the trial as much as I would have liked to. Nothing compared to how I followed the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. But I did follow along with the Kim Potter case pretty closely, and as well as Chris. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the jury finding her guilty and her upcoming sentencing date. But first, I want to talk about the truck driver in Colorado, Rogel. Today, the Colorado governor, commuted his sentence from 110 years to 10 years. So after a public outcry of injustice, when people thought that, you know, the 110 years was too extreme for what had happened and the details surrounding that accident, the governor decided that it would be best to commute that sentence to a 10-year sentence. Now, I know a lot of people are like, that's bullshit because he killed four people and he missed, emergency ramps. And there's a lot of ins and outs of that story. And the bottom line is we're never, ever going to agree of what the correct sentence should be or what should or would have been or could have been. The fact of the matter is it should have never been 110 years. We all know that. And I get some people are still, no, I think 110 years was great. Well, it sets a dangerous precedent for the trucking industry, and I disagree with that. And you have the right to disagree with me on that also. But, me and Chris were talking before we went live on air, and I want Chris to explain his stance of how he was explaining it to me, because it made sense to me. I agree with the decision from the governor, but yet I disagree with it, if that makes any sense. And it will after Chris runs his explanation. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, basically, I'm happy with the outcome. We had talked about this before. I felt like, probably 15 to 20-year sentence where he's ended up serving 8 to 10 would probably have been appropriate. In any case, 110 was excessive, but I also didn't feel like this was a situation where he needed to just be completely free of being held accountable, because he did make some mistakes, even including in his license application and some other minor issues. But without getting into all that, ultimately, while I'm happy to see the sentence reduced from 110 down to 10 years, what I'm not happy with is the way in which it happened, which is the governor stepping in and commuting it to 10 years, basically just completely overstepping the judicial process. You know, the prosecution had already come in and asked for this sentence to be reduced. The judge had already acknowledged that the sentence was harsh and excessive, and that he wanted to find some way around those sentencing guidelines. And I believe the judiciary was legitimately working together in all aspects to come up with a way that once he had served a certain amount of time, they could go in. And I don't know what they were going to do, if they were going to look at doing a drop of the convictions or allowing those convictions to be appealed and dropping them in that way, doing a nolle, what they call a nolle pros, which is no prosecution on the appeals. But in any case, they had some sort of strategy they were going to try to use in order to get this worked through the judicial system, which is where it should be. I don't like the trend that we're seeing with governors and presidents in the last, 12 to 15 years, whatever that works out to, this whole rule by decree, rule by executive order, whether I like the outcome or not is immaterial. I have to step up and say, I don't like this process of executive action that oversteps the system of checks and balances.
Right. No, and the way you explain that, I quickly jumped on board with you, and we kind of had a short discussion about how I agreed with what you just said, but I disagreed. And it's like, how can you agree and disagree at the same time? Well, I disagree because I got the outcome that I wanted. But what happens, like I explained to Chris, when there's a whole completely different scenario where somebody deserved 110 years and the government comes in, and because it's politically motivated or whatever the case may be, and he has the same decision that governor in Colorado does and commutes that 110-year sentence down to 10 years for somebody that actually should be sitting for 110 years. So
well, exactly.
It's kind of a catch-22.
Governor of Wisconsin did it to the Waukesha killer and said,
right.
What, this guy was – This guy was extremely emotional over a bad court outcome involving a white supremacist, and he's mentally unstable, and I don't feel like his conviction is appropriate. I'm going to commute his sentence down to 10 years. You know, that would be a case where, you know, the activist on his side would be perfectly happy with that outcome. But guys like you and I would not be. And so you can't make things outcome-based. That's when you drop into that,
right?
The end justifies the means mentality, the tribal mentality, and that's how we've gotten to where we are today of being so polarized, because we've stopped looking at, is the process constitutionally correct? We've stopped looking at that and started looking at, did I get the outcome I wanted? Did we, my team, did my tribe get the outcome my tribe wanted? And we got what we wanted. We don't care. We have to get away from that.
Right. And you know, that carries over into the Kim Potter case. And we're going to go right into that right away, because let me just get into it, okay? On April 11th, those of you that don't know who Kim Potter is or the Kim Potter case, first of all, let me explain who Kim Potter was. She was a 26-year police veteran of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. I believe she was the president of the police union, very active in the department, and for all on all accounts, she was a model police officer and had many awards and everything I read about her past. She was a pretty good police officer. Okay, so in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, as the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin trial was going on, not too far away from Brooklyn Center. Brooklyn Center is in the northwest corner of the Twin Cities metro area, right off of I-94. It's a suburb. On April 11th of 2021, 20-year-old Dante Wright, who happened to be a black man, was fatally shot by police officer Kimberly Potter during a traffic stop and an attempted arrest for an outstanding arrest warrant. They pulled him over, he said, because he had air freshener. He called his mom right away, by the way, as he was getting pulled over. He said because they had air fresheners hanging from the rearview mirror, which is illegal in Minnesota. The stories I've read, I don't know, they're kind of back and forth, but when they pulled him over, they realized that he had expired tags. Well, after they run his name, they find out that he's got an outstanding warrant for brandishing a firearm. It didn't show up for court. it's a mess, right? So Officer Potter happened to be training a new officer that day. And as he was handcuffing Dante Wright and another officer was assisting him, Officer Kim Potter come up and was trying to assist them into getting him in handcuffs. He broke free and entered the car. And at that point, Kim Potter took out what she thought was her taser and said, "Stop or I will tase you." And then she yelled out three times, "Taser, taser, taser." And she shot. And that shot actually came from her service weapon, not her taser. She mistakenly had taken out her service weapon instead of her taser. And that bullet entered and went through both of his lungs and into his heart. He was able to take off, but not too far, a few blocks later, crashed his car into another car, where the police officers on scene did CPR and tried to revive him, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. Subsequently, she was charged with first-degree manslaughter which is a reckless use of handling of a firearm resulting in somebody's death, and second-degree manslaughter. 2 days after this incident, she resigned from the Brooklyn Center Police Department. And it quickly became politicized and polarized because of the whole police brutality, Black Lives Matter, what have you, that's been going on in this country that for however long. Now, you and I both know, Chris, that there are cases where there are police officers that are bad apples, that are probably racist, that are what have you. The bottom line is we need to remember, not one of us do that. We don't do that job. I don't do that job. I couldn't even imagine at what was going through any of their any of their heads as they were going through that traffic stop, and they know they have a guy that has a warrant out for his arrest for failure to appear because of a weapons charge. Okay, now the dude jumps back in his car, and the prosecution right away wants to point out the fact that there was no weapons found in the car. Well, listen, dude, how the hell do you know that when you're on the scene as a police officer, whether he had a weapon or not in that car? For all you knew, he jumped back in that car to grab a weapon to shoot you. But they don't say that. They don't care about that. They've never put their lives on the line, but they're really quick to point out somebody else's reaction to a situation. I think it sickens me, really, honestly, because nobody ever puts themselves in that shoe or in the shoes of Officer Potter, and everybody wants to, you know, right away the court of public opinion comes out, and they all suddenly become an expert on police work, and it's stupid. Let's before I get too far into this, I want the audience to know who Dante Wright was, okay? Everybody, well, you don't need to bring up his criminal past. That has nothing to do with the current situation. It absolutely does. If his name was well known by the police department or his warrant was out for a weapons violation or failure to appear for a weapons violation, that definitely puts things into perspective as a police officer, like, shit, that guy might have a gun in that car, okay? So, Mr. Dante Wright, not even a month before this incident, violently carjacked a guy in North Minneapolis, the guy that he was with, that Dante Wright was with, who was helping him carjack this guy, shot the guy in the leg, hit an artery, and there was massive bleeding. He was pretty badly injured. Dante Wright, in that case, allegedly, beat that guy pretty severely. That case is pending. An investigation is pending. Now, a little bit before that, he was accused of a strong-arm robbery where he actually pointed a gun at a woman's head. He heard that she had rent money, and he tried to rob her at gunpoint, and she told him that, is this worth spending the rest of your life in prison over $750 or $800, whatever that number was? And apparently that was it. I mean, it didn't end there, but he at least didn't kill her. But there is a current lawsuit against the Wright estate from another family. An associate or a former friend of Dante Wright, where it's alleged that he shot this kid in the head, and this kid survived, but he is no longer capable of doing anything on his own. He's basically in a wheelchair and severely disabled. He can't really do anything on his own. Basically, it ended his life without ending his life. These are things that this kid was up to. He wasn't a choir boy at the Catholic Church. He was a kid that grew up coddled by his parent, by his mother. His mom was white. His dad was black. Come from the Chicago area. That's where he comes from, okay? That's partial history of who Dante Wright was. In an interview, his mom quoted, "He was scared. He had the mindset of a 17-year-old. Probably because we babied him." Well, here's where I go into my rant, Chris. You just admitted to the world that he was scared because you babied him. With all due respect, ma'am, this would have never happened if you would have shown that kid a little bit of tough love and taught him accountability and responsibility. Rather than making excuses for your child at every turn, every time he messed up, you babied him. You coddled him. And this is exactly what happens. Parents, take a very close listen to this. When you coddle your children and you baby your children, they grow up thinking that there is no accountability, that there is no responsibility for their actions. And what happened? He made a horrific decision to try to get away from the police when they were in the process of arresting him. And what happened after that? A stand-up police officer by the name of Kim Potter, that happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time that day, just doing her job, had to make a decision. In that case, she wanted to tase the guy to stop him because at that point, he was jumping back in his vehicle, which, number one, they don't know if there's a gun in there or a knife or a weapon of any sort. Number two, he can still use that car as a weapon, drag one of those officers for however long, run him over, who knows? There's a multiple scenarios that could have happened. She chose to stop that situation by deploying her taser. What happened is a horrible, horrible mistake. She accidentally draws her service weapon and shoots the guy dead. Mistakenly. Now, what do they do? Right away, it's racism. Oh, but why? Because it's a white cop and a black kid, right? Right away, it's racism. Black Lives Matter, I don't think Black Lives Matter as the organization actually got involved right away. I can't quote or not quote that. I don't know. All I know is that riots started happening. Because it's been so polarized in Minneapolis since the George Floyd incident, right away, it's racism, and you have people out in the streets yelling "fuck the police" and acting lawless, and this is how they expect change, right? If this truly was a racist case or a racism about racism, but it was never about racism. Here's the bottom line: this could have all been avoided, and this is to all you protesters. Or anybody against any of this. You want to know how you stop this shit? You want to know how? You want to know how you stop it? You take accountability and responsibility for your actions. If this kid, Dante Wright, if he would have took responsibility that day when the police came back to him and said, "Hey, you have a warrant out for your arrest. We're placing you under arrest." And his reaction would have been, "Shit." And stood up like a man and been put in handcuffs and placed in the police car and handled it in the court of law, Kim Potter would have never been in a position to have to even make a decision to make a mistake. This all falls on Dante Wright and partially on his mom for quote-unquote babying him. This is her fault too. Not her fault, all of it, but this is what happens. This is the result of babying your kids. Dante Wright took no responsibility for his actions. Unfortunately, the kid lost his life over it. Do I believe that anybody deserves to lose their life over a bad mistake? No, but neither does Kim Potter. Kim Potter does not deserve to lose her career, whom she spent 26-plus years being a police officer, her husband being a former police officer. Now guess what? Her life's over in the law enforcement. Her career's done. Over what? Because a criminal refuses to take responsibility for his actions? Is that where we're at now as a society? I mean, listen, we all know that there's bad apples out there, folks, and that there's police officers out there that should not be police officers, but it's my belief that Kim Potter is not one of those bad apples. Well, she had training. That's what I hear. She was trained to handle these situations. I don't give a shit how much training you've had in your entire life about any subject. Once you get into a position where everything is moving a million miles an hour and you have split-second decisions to make, the human mind will do funny things. You're thinking of one thing at that point. In my opinion, if it was me and I was in Kim Potter's position, I would have been thinking to myself, how do I stop this situation from happening? What if he's grabbing a gun? There's things running through your head. As a police officer, especially in today's day and age, you don't know. They turn around and shoot a cop in cold blood, and they don't even blink. They don't even think nothing about it. These criminals, they bam, it's over with. They kill the cop. The cop goes home in a body bag. The criminal goes to court and gets coddled again by the court system, and jack-offs like Keith Ellison in Minnesota and the other jack-off Governor Waltz. Yeah, I say it. I don't care. I'm tired of these people making criminals the victims and making people out like Kim Potter the criminal. This was, in my opinion, an honest mistake, a horrible mistake. None of us wish it would ever happen, but it was a mistake nonetheless. So there's my rant. Chris, why don't you weigh in on it?
Well, you covered a lot there, and I mean, it's true. People don't consider all the many things going through an officer's mind when they approach a car. Excuse me, I've been a little bit sick here the last couple of days. When an officer approaches a car, especially in a confrontational situation, one of the things that the media does a really bad job of is they completely remove the whole aspect of officer knowledge of the individual, meaning they just say, okay, a police officer walked into this situation and this person was here, and they were afraid that person was armed, and then this happened. And everybody's immediately, well, why did they just automatically assume that person was armed? Is it because he's black? Is it because they were this, they were that, they were from this side of town? And it's looked at kind of like everything happens in a vacuum. And in reality, the situations that the police department deal with regularly, for the most part, is the same group of people every day or nearly every day of their career over and over again. So if you have 1,000 crimes that occur within your district, those 1,000 crimes aren't being committed by 1,000 people. Those 1,000 crimes are being committed by maybe 50, and they're committing them over and over again all the time. So most of the situations that a police officer walks into, they're not walking into a cold situation where they don't know the person they're dealing with. They usually know them very well, have dealt with them many times in the past. And if they're apprehensive and looking or suspecting that a weapon might be employed or that the suspect might get violent with them, that probably is for a damn good reason. And it probably has something to do directly with the suspect and their past dealings with the police department. I can't elaborate on this particular officer's knowledge of Dante Wright or his past, but I can jump in and say, you know what, that's probably not the first time she dealt with Dante. And there probably was past situations of Dante's violent tendencies that she was aware of. Because when that happens, you know you're dealing with someone that's violent. You know you're dealing with someone who may very well get violent with you in that situation. Naturally, your guard's going to be up. I mean, what if your neighbor was dumping trash on your lawn one day and you walked out to say, hey, can you knock it off? You know, and he reached down, picked up a baseball bat and you know, started hitting your legs with it. Well, the next time you look outside and he's dumping trash on your yard, you're probably not going to make the same mistake of approaching him unarmed, completely not expecting to get hit by a baseball bat. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you've dealt with someone in the past and you know they have a tendency to get violent, even if it wasn't you that got your legs hit with a baseball bat, but let's say your other neighbor, you know, tried to talk to him for dumping trash on their yard and he hit them with a baseball bat, you're going to learn from that and be like, okay, well, that didn't go so well for him. I'm probably going to be a little bit more cautious. I'm at least going to take my own damn baseball bat over there before I talk to him. And these are human dynamics that police deal with on a regular basis. They approach people knowing that a lot of the times when they're dealing with someone they know they have a violent tendency. And so, yes, they do walk into those situations expecting violence even more than a routine type of situation. These days, it's even worse. You know, in Illinois, in the last 2 days, we've lost 2 police officers in the last 2 days. And it wasn't because they were stopping someone and trying to search them or anything like that. One was shot to death over by the Indiana border for going to a motorist assist call. In other words, that's like someone stalled out their car in traffic, you know, disabled on the side of the road, or someone calls in and says, hey, someone's got a flat tire on the shoulder here. That was literally a deputy going to help someone that was having some sort of problem on the road. And
Chris,
surprise, surprise, he walks up and gets shot. Yeah.
I want to, before, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I wanted to do this before I called on you over there to share your opinion, because I sure appreciate that. But if you guys are listening and you call in and you want to call in and you want to be live to share your opinion and your thoughts on this matter, here's the phone number. You guys can do that, okay? It's get your pen and your paper handy, or type it into your phone right now as we're talking. The phone number is 516-387-1733. Now, once you get through, all you got to do is press the number 1. That will let me know on my switchboard that you guys want to get on air, and we will definitely take your call, and you can share your opinion, whether you agree with us or not. All we ask, if you do disagree, that you don't get on here and be vulgar about it. Share your thoughts and your opinions and why you disagree with us. That's cool. And if you agree, that's awesome, too. That number, again, people, is 516-387-1733. And I see we got one on here right away that wants to get on. Do you want to continue, Chris, with yours, and then we'll get to that caller, or do we want to get to that caller
first? Yeah, I'll finish what I was saying real quick, and then we'll get to our caller. So basically, yes,
nice.
Police do often anticipate violence from people they've dealt with before that they know are violent. That does raise their level of alertness even more than just the routine encounter. And unfortunately, when you're standing there by that car, your mind is going a bunch of different directions. Cars do get used as weapons. I can give you the names of people who have been hit by cars and dragged down the street, suffered permanent injuries that they ended up getting medically retired. Those things happen. People use the cars as weapons. And so, yes, you're looking, are they reaching for the gear shift? How are their wheels turned? You know, are they starting the car? Are they reaching towards an area where a weapon might be stored? Are they, you know, are they reaching for a weapon? Are they going to try to run me over? Is there anybody else in the car that I didn't see initially? You know, you're scanning for all these things while simultaneously giving commands. They're shouting back at you. They're threatening you. They might be fighting with your partner. You're looking, okay, if they go for a weapon, what's the background? Because even if you – let's say they come up with a weapon and you end up firing at them, and then you miss because they duck right at the same instant you pull the trigger, responsible for those bullets wherever they go. And so you're looking, what's my backdrop? Do I, you know, is there a group of kids standing on the other side of the sidewalk that I got to worry about, you know, if I have to open, you know, open fire on this suspect? So you got so many things going through your head. Those considerations are there. And so it's really easy in the dynamic exchange of getting into a confrontation with someone that might turn deadly quickly. I can see where the brain waves get a little bit jumbled. 1 minute, you got your hand over by your firearm because you're anticipating that they might be reaching for a weapon, and the next minute your partner's grabbing them and getting into a fight, and there's no weapon, and now you're like, oh, I'm just going to tase them. But in somewhere in the process there, you forget to move your hand over to your taser, and now you've got your gun in your hands, and you don't realize it's your gun because it feels exactly like your taser. So I can see where those types of things happen. But ultimately, I go back to what I said last week, whether you're an actor on a Hollywood set or a police officer in Brooklyn Center, if you deploy a weapon, you're responsible for what happens. And everyone walks into that job knowing that if they use a weapon and they end up killing someone or even injuring someone with a level of force that was not justified, whether it be by mistake or not, you're going to be held criminally accountable for that. And I mean, that is taught pretty much day one in the police academy. So everyone goes into the job understanding that level of responsibility they're accepting.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, even after, and I want to get to your caller here, ending in 7110, very, very shortly. Even in with Kim Potter, as soon as she accidentally shot this man, right away on her body cam footage, holy shit, I shot him. You know, I've seen that video, and it was very convincing to me that it was an honest mistake. Yes. And let's face it, half these people that are judging Kim Potter over the public court of opinion, their biggest decision in their life was to either pick the chocolate or the vanilla ice cream cone at Dairy Queen. So their opinion doesn't matter to me. So let's just get right to this caller. I don't want to hold them on any longer. Let them get on air and share their thoughts. So caller 7110, you are on the air now. And who do we have on the air tonight?
Hey, Jeremy, good evening. This is Dave Dibble. We've been kind of chatting in the background a little bit. Madison, Ohio, first of all, just absolutely amazing monologue. There's nothing I could even remotely really add to. The only thing that I do want to add is, you know, generally speaking, I'm really on one side or the other in most cases. My undergrad's in crim and social. I've got a master's in criminal justice through the University of Cincinnati. I really came into this case really far more on the fence than I think I've ever been with any other case. Initially, you know, the focus was, oh my God, I made a mistake. I shot him, you know, instead of deploying the taser. And, you know, initially I'm like, okay, horrible, horrible, horrible mistake. I can't overemphasize the point that you made enough as far as the split-second horrible decisions that these men and women have to make under the worst of circumstances. But a life was lost. Somehow or another, something has to be done. But then everything really turned in my paradigm when it really came out. And to me, the focus, whether or not the focus shifted, it didn't. I feel it should have shifted from, oh, my God, I made a horrible mistake, to was deadly force authorized under the circumstances? Is the motor vehicle a deadly weapon, which has been established over and over again? It is. You made the point that was there or could there have been a firearm in that vehicle? Once that paradigm shifted from, oh, my God, I made a horrible mistake, to, wait a second, stop. Deadly force was authorized under the circumstances. Everything should have changed. I'll make one other real quick point, and I'll go to the next caller. I know you've got a lot of folks you need to get to. There's an awesome group that you're in, and a number of folks have started petitions for the judge to rule and sentence her with leniency. I really wrestled with whether or not I was even going to sign that, because in my opinion, and I believe that you may, and I think many others will agree with me, this judge is hands down in the pocket of the prosecution. She has upheld every objection from the prosecution. She has overruled damn near every objection from the defense. She has crippled the defense's case, really, in any respect. I'll be honest, I am terrified, absolutely terrified of how this sentence is going to come about, just because she is out for blood. Amazing job. I will let it go for the next caller. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your call. That was Dave, everybody. And yes, I just started going back and forth with Dave over, you know, he asked a simple question on the Facebook group that I'm involved with, that I've been following along with. And I'm not going to put that Facebook group out there right now for the simple fact, because I don't know if they want their name to be out there. I don't want them to be harassed, because I think what they're doing is that's their business. They have every right to support Kim Potter, just as I do. And you have every right. That's what makes this country great, that you have every right to disagree with us. That's fine. But I don't want to bring them harassment. Those of you that just dialed in, I just want you to know that the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And if you want to get on air, all you have to do is press the number 1. That will let me know on my switchboard that you want to talk, you have an opinion, you have thoughts. You are welcome to come on air and discuss those opinions and thoughts. But what, you know, Dave touched on, it is the same thing I touched on too. When this situation happened, and this is what people need to remember, things are going a million miles an hour. It kind of started off not so bad, where Dante Wright was kind of complying. You know, he was on the phone with his mom, and his mom, well, he was scared. Well, if you've done nothing wrong, there really you have nothing to be scared about with the police. I've been pulled over by police. I've been held at gunpoint. And was I scared? Yeah. That was back in my younger years when I was a little crazier. Yeah, damn right I was scared. But you know what I did? I didn't give them any reason for them to pull the trigger. I did what they told me to do. They have a gun. I didn't. I didn't lunge into my car to, you know, grab a candy cigarette or try to take off. I listened to what they said, because I knew that the reason they were after me is because I probably did something that wasn't very smart. And that's called law and order. And I respect law and order, and so I complied. But what Dave touched on was, as soon as she accidentally discharged her service weapon instead of her taser, the question should have been immediately asked, what made you even grab for your taser? You know, is this a justified shooting? Well, he jumped into his car, which automatically it's been established that the car is, it can be used as a deadly weapon. But again, I'm going to emphasize the fact, those police on scene, did they see a weapon? No. But they didn't know if he didn't have one or did have one in there. They didn't know. The prosecution was very quick to come out and say, there was no gun in the car. Oh, good for you. I'm glad that you have 20/20 hindsight, Monday morning quarterback. And the prosecution in this case, I hate to even say the judge, but the prosecution is most definitely following the whole Keith Ellison narrative and the Tim Walz and I'm sorry to say this if you're a Democrat, but the Democratic agenda in the Minnesota area, they have this whole victim mentality for the criminals. They're all victims. It's all racism. It's let me just get to a point. My brother was carjacked violently in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Violently. Doing his job. And I'll bring this up every single time for you people in the back that just can't hear. He was doing his job, trying to be a contributing member to society. Just doing his job. He pulled up to his delivery
and a car, an SUV, pulled up next to him. He made eye contact with the passenger, didn't think nothing of it, jumped out of his car, went to make his delivery, which was 10 feet away. The guy was standing there on the curb waiting for his delivery. This guy gets out of the SUV, jumps in my brother's car. My brother goes to run to try to stop him. In the meantime, the guy puts it in drive. My brother gets caught on the car, drug him for quite a long time, and ended up falling off the car, thankfully. If it would have went longer than that, I don't think I would be talking about my brother that's still alive. He did suffer some severe lacerations, and the situation certainly could have ended up way worse than what it did. But the point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you stop holding these criminals accountable for what their actions are, this is only going to get worse. Carjackings in Minneapolis are up 300% from last year. Murders are up 1, 2, 3, 400% in over 20 United States cities. And I'm not going to tell you who said this to me, but their excuse, well, the pandemic. Everybody is, and I'm sorry, that's a typical Democrat response. Blame it on something totally unrelated to what is actually going on. It's called Democratic policies. And I'm not trying to pick on you folks that are Democrats. I am talking strictly to those that are setting these policies that refuse to hold these criminals accountable. Just the other day, a man burglarizes a home while it's occupied, steals their car in Minneapolis area, gets in a high-speed chase, runs into a police cruiser, and charged with multiple felonies, which he should have been. And he plea bargained out of it. All of it was all dropped. All the felonies were dropped. And he plea bargained to obstruction of justice. And he served, I think it was 5 or 15 days, and released. I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing because when the hell are you people going to wake up and understand what the hell is going on? You're not holding anybody accountable at all. These criminals know. They know. They can literally rob you at gunpoint as long as they don't kill you, because once you murder somebody and take somebody's life, well, then they're probably going to get a little time, and they're going to be pursued a little bit, but not as much as they should be. But they can go out and they can actually go out and commit a crime, a violent crime. Just the other day, an elderly lady, Dr. Scott Jensen, posted on his Facebook, an elderly woman in the Minneapolis area went shopping at Aldi's and come out and was beaten and robbed. An elderly woman. They've become brazen in what they do. They have zero respect for life or the results of their actions toward one's life. And you want to just slap them on the hand and say, well, I don't want to be deemed a racist, so we'll just let them go with an obstruction of justice charge. Bullshit. Bullshit. It's time you start stepping up and taking responsibility and charging these people for what they deserve under the law, what they deserve to be charged with. Enough of this babying and coddling bullshit. I am so tired of everybody yelling racism. He was a good boy. He just made a bad mistake. A bad mistake where he beat the shit out of an old lady. Or a bad mistake where he robbed somebody with a gun, stole their car, and ran into a squad car. If you're a police officer, in especially in the state of Minnesota, I would highly suggest you move to Florida and become a law enforcement under the Ron DeSantis governorship down there, because he at least supports law enforcement. You find folks in Minnesota that are law enforcement, you have every single card in that deck stacked against you. The courts, the governor, the DA, the whole works, and the liberal mindset of Minnesota, except for this Minnesotan. I'm from rural Minnesota. I'm part of the rocks and cow crowd, according to Governor Tim Walz. That piece of garbage.
Means.
Okay, Governor Tim Walz said at one time, he quoted, somebody asked him about rural Minnesota, and he said, there ain't nothing out in rural Minnesota except for rocks and cows. That coming out of our own governor's mouth. And then he kind of chuckled, said, huh, huh, huh. You know, he's a big dummy. That's what he is. And I don't care. I don't. It's just like when the guy called Biden the other day was President Biden and his wife, and the guy said, "Let's go, Brandon." And Biden goes, "Yes, I agree. Let's go, Brandon." And then because he's too dumb to realize that it was an insult, but after the said saying, the liberals come unhinged, of course. And then what do? Of course, this administration weaponizes their agencies that they have working for them and use them as mob strongholds, and they go after the guy for insulting the president. President Trump, I don't know how many times I heard that guy get insulted, but you didn't see him weaponizing the FBI against him for insulting him. You know, I never voted Trump. You know that. I wasn't really a fan of Trump, but
I didn't either. I was a fan of a lot of his policies, but I was not a fan of a lot of his policies. So
no, that's okay. That's the beautiful thing about this country. We don't have to agree with every policy of any president, including Biden, including Trump, anybody. You don't have to agree with them. That's the beautiful part about it. But you don't get to be to the point where I disagree with him so bad because I don't like him as a person, like I did with Trump. And I'll admit it. I'll be a man and stand up and say, you know what? I did this. I was part of the problem at one point. But I stood up just because I didn't like the guy as a human being. I disagree with everything. Rather than just stopping for a second and tuning out the media, because the media is that's not media anymore. It's a propaganda tool. But tuning them out and just actually looking at the policy that he was trying to set forth, who it's going to help, how it's going to help them, is it going to benefit people in this country, or is it going to benefit the politicians and the big corporations like usual? That's what I had to – I refused to do at the beginning, and over time I got to the point where I was actually able to do that. And it changed my opinion, not of Donald Trump as a human being, because I still think Donald Trump is an amoeba of a person, but he did have some good things for America. And his whole America First stance, oh, that's racist. That's xenophobic. It's this, it's that, it's that. No, it's to protect the American people. Because now, fast forward to the current administration, you got borders, the southern border is out of absolute control. And they issue these vaccine mandates on healthcare workers and employers that have over 100 employees and on our military and our law enforcement and our EMS. They issue these vaccine mandates on them, say, well, if you don't get vaccinated, you're no longer employed. Meanwhile, they catch these folks at the southern border coming in that want a better life. Okay, I get it. They ship them off to all these cities across the country in the middle of the night, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning flights, so nobody pays attention, drop them off. Not one of them are tested for COVID. And I shouldn't say that. I think they're tested for COVID, but they're not required to take the vaccine. Well, listen here. If you are mandating on your own people that you're required to take a vaccine that they don't want to take, that hasn't been proven yet, there's not any long-term studies done on it, but you're not going to require illegal aliens coming in illegally across our border to take that same said vaccine, well, I got a problem with that, a huge problem with that. And I'm sorry I got off the whole Kim Potter thing, but I tend to do that.
But you just can't help
it. I have a huge problem with that. I can't. I think I have a problem, Chris.
Well, hey, you know what? It all makes sense, and I've said this on this show before. It all makes sense if you research the Cloward-Piven plan, the 8-step guide to transforming a capitalist nation to a socialist nation by infiltration and propaganda, and by disrupting the economy and destabilizing the population. When you look at everything through those lens, everything that's happening right now makes perfect sense. And
absolutely. Let's not forget the Smith-Mundt Act.
Right. Now, can I put my tinfoil hat on for a little bit? Because, I mean, people already call me crazy anyway.
Well,
do you mind
if you're going to put that on, can I put mine on too?
When I look at the absolute droves of people coming across our southern border, I don't think first and foremost, let's get this out of the way. Government doesn't give a shit about anybody, okay? I don't care. Let's talk about the pandemic. Father and I had this discussion several months ago when I said, listen, how many times have you seen nations go to war with each other over considerably less than $1 trillion worth of a resource such as oil? You know, how many hundreds of thousands, even into the millions of innocent civilians died in this warfare? How many hundreds of thousands of soldiers were sent to die fighting over these resources worth less than $1 trillion? And he conceded with me that, okay, well, yeah, that's true. That has happened. I said, okay, now you're going to try to tell me that those same governments are all of a sudden so damn concerned about our health that they're willing to do trillions of dollars of damage to their economies to make sure we're safe from a virus? That don't make sense. I don't believe it. You don't believe it. I think anyone who's a critical thinker is not buying that. So let's just get that out in the open. Governments don't give a shit about you. They care about government. They care about power. They care about funding for their power. And that is pretty much it. Everything is a fight for resources. But moving beyond that, when I look at this, just the thousands upon thousands of people coming across these borders, I have a sincere suspicion that there are sleeper cells that are embedded within those droves of people. And they are getting positioned strategically around the country for when the Civil War breaks out. I don't think that Civil War is any longer a questionable thing. I don't think any polarization that's ever hit this level in the history of the world has ever resulted in anything less than a Civil War. I think the people in power know that the Civil War is coming, and they're preparing for it. And I think there's one side that knows damn good and well that liberal arts majors probably aren't going to make the best soldiers for their cause. And so I would not put it past them to be bringing in people of military value, people of military age and shape, physical shape and stamina, that have possibly even been trained by communist guerrilla forces out there elsewhere in the world, are being brought in and deposited in strategic locations in this country to assist the side of the left when everything finally goes sideways in this country. So I've been predicting that even before COVID broke out. Medicine Man and I were having this conversation, and we were talking about like the gun control things that they were trying to sneak through in Virginia, you know, that led to the big pro Second Amendment rally there in Richmond years ago. And we were talking, and he was saying, you know, why are these Democrats so stupid? Don't they know they're about to cause a civil war? And I said, listen, it's become glaringly obvious to me that they know they're trying to push one
And I said, and that really scares me, because if they're pushing this hard to get us to a civil war, that tells me they're pretty damn confident they're going to come out on top. And once again, it's not their liberal arts majors that are going to give them a victory. So that tells me they've got some other plan. They've got some other resource that they're going to pull in on their side. They've got some sort of ace up their sleeve that they think is going to put them over the top. And that's where I am.
We know what that is, Chris. It's okay, again, back to the Kim Potter case. What do? We make the criminals victims, and the very people that are protecting us, such as Kim Potter, who has an exemplary record. I think I heard that in the 26 years she's been a police officer that she's never actually drawn her service weapon. So what do? We start making an example out of the police officers for doing their job, and we start throwing them in prison in long sentencing, what this prosecutor's pushing for, and wait till sentencing comes. They're going to come up with some ridiculous number. I have a bad feeling about it. And if that's the case, we better be up there in droves protesting. But what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make, they make an example of a police officer that was just doing their job. Start throwing them in prison for 20 years for doing their job. Guess what's going to happen? These police officers, these veteran police officers, and anybody in their right mind that's a law enforcement officer, is going to say, well, the hell with that. They won't even let me do my job, and if I do my job, they're going to throw me in prison for doing my job. They quit.
You know what? I don't know who
that
coincides,
Chris, with them starting to want to open up Capitol Police in Florida, and there's another state. I don't remember where it was. They want to expand the Capitol Police. Well, right. Just for all of you to be aware, the Capitol Police have a whole different set of rules than a normal police department has. Whole new set
they
of
are
rules.
Federal police.
They federalize the police department by naming them Capitol Police. And guess what you have now? Now you have, everybody say it together, you have Nazi Germany-style police forcing. It's forceful police.
Which, you know, you and I have had that conversation as well. The parallels between the January 6th incident and the Reichstag fire, I think are undeniable. You know, the Reichstag fire, that was an attack on the German parliament building. So think of it as basically the Capitol building for the Germans. It's long been speculated that the Nazis were actually behind the burning of it, and they basically set up a member of the local Communist Party. The Nazis and the Communists, they were enemies, if you aren't aware of that. They were both leftist, contrary to some false history. They were both leftist. They basically just disagreed on what type of totalitarian control that the government should have. And so the fascists, the Nazis, that did not like the communists, they set up the communists as their enemies, and they used the Reichstag fire as an excuse to suspend certain civil rights in order to go out and basically neutralize enemies of the state that were causing all the social unrest in Germany. And essentially, it took a couple of years after the Reichstag fire, but what ended up happening, the series of things that happened after that fire, were the political steps, Adolf Hitler becoming a dictator with legal authority because of the Constitution of Germany, the parliamentary constitution being suspended. And I still feel like that is kind of a goal of the January 6th commission, the designation.
I think it happened a lot before that, though, yeah. Chris. You know, I believe that was the 9/11. I go right back to 9/11 because what happened immediately after 9/11, Department of Homeland Security was created and the Patriot Act was, bam, it was right there. I mean, they had that, the wording of that down pat. It was bam, 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 bam. It was all right there. I'm like, years after that, I didn't pay attention back then. I'm like, yeah, what the heck? Whatever. Okay, yeah, Patriot Act. Yeah, yeah, I'm a patriot. Woo-hoo. You know, cheers. USA, USA. But then all of a sudden, I start paying attention, and I realize, holy shit, they come up with that really quick. And all the conspiracy theories surrounding 911, was it a government planned attack on its own people? Well, we can go back a long time where the government was involved in some pretty shady shit. And I'm not so sure that this wasn't all put in motion after 911. But go ahead, Chris.
That is interesting. And you know what? And this is where my centrist political side comes out. I have to give credit, you know, sometimes to the leftist Democrats at times, because I actually had a good friend, coworker, who was most definitely a liberal Democrat. And he was a huge opponent of the Patriot Act. And at the time, he was actually going through law school. He has since graduated law school and is a practicing attorney. I think he's actually a partner in his law firm at this point. But he said something to me, because, of course, I was Mr. Patriotic, you know, let's go and stomp out the Islamo-terrorist guy back then. And he said something to me that at the time I didn't think was possible, but it was so foretelling. He said, listen, he says, what happens when they pass all these laws that basically circumvent civil rights as long as you are fighting, and he used his fingers to make the quotation marks, terrorists. Because what happens when they change the definition of who a terrorist is? And now all of a sudden, it's open season on political adversaries. And of course, I'm like, man, we all know what a terrorist is. They can't just change the definition of terrorist. I wish I had, I had kind of followed what he said there, because, and I know him. I know in his mind he was thinking that they were going to weaponize the Patriot Act against leftist activists. But you know, the opposite has happened, and now it's been politicized towards anyone that's a conservative. And you know, God forbid that.
And rightfully so, Chris, because it was George W. It was under George W. Bush. So of course, right. if you're opposing political views of a Republican, you're thinking, oh yeah, yeah, they're going to come after us leftists. And the conservatives are thinking, yeah, screw these terrorists, man, because we all believe the narrative of 911. It was, you know, it was hijackers from Saudi Arabia, and hell, they even found one of the guys' ID. At Ground Zero, perfectly intact. So we know it was them. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that these airplanes flew into two towers, burned so hot that they melted steel beams, which caused a collapse of two huge towers, the World Trade Center, and building, what was it, building 9 or building 11 or whatever the hell it was, had a free fall before those two even fell. But after all that destruction, they found the ID of one of the terrorists completely intact. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
that's kind of convenient. I was hardcore against anyone that doubted, you know, 9/11 for years, because I just. The one thing that was missing from all the conspiracy theories in my mind was that I couldn't see a motive. And I never bought into the, oh, it was for the insurance money. I was like, I just couldn't see a conspiracy that vast involving that many people so that one billionaire could make a little bit of extra money off of a fire damaged building on an insurance claim. It just didn't make sense. And so I couldn't see any clear motive that would justify that high level of a conspiracy. But now, you know, 20 years later, after seeing the Patriot Act and the changes to the National Defense Authorization Act, the repeal of the Smith-Munson Act, the sudden emergence of propaganda, a combined global totalitarian world, and all the things that we're seeing starting to come into play, all of a sudden I'm beginning to see how 9/11 could very well have been the impetus to start gradually stripping away a lot of civil rights and creating a surveillance state that would basically roll out the red carpet for a totalitarian world that we're seeing now. So I'm a little bit more open to 9/11 conspiracies now than I was years ago. Still not convinced. There's a lot of, unfortunately, in the conspiracy theories that are out there, there are a lot of scientific myths that are out there. I understand aviation very well, so I have a lot of arguments with a lot of objection to the arguments that, you know, a plane couldn't possibly be flown into the Pentagon at that speed, and by all the theories out there. But I'm definitely more open, and there's definitely some oddities. A lot of people don't realize that the captain of the plane that crashed into the Pentagon was actually retired military and had worked in the Pentagon before. So, you know, how ironic is it that, you know, that you've got a retired military airline captain that just happens to be on the flight that gets hijacked and crashes into his old office.
But Chris, you're missing something here. The Pentagon, days before the Pentagon was attacked, or supposedly by this airplane, and we've talked about this, there was an audit that was done, and Donald Rumsfeld come out in a press conference and said that there was, I want to say the number was $3.2 trillion missing from the Defense Department's budget. Which part of the Pentagon got hit by that supposed airplane, Chris?
I recall that one, and I never doubted that the missing money.
No, but which department? Which department got hit by the plane? The supposed plane.
It's been I wasn't prepared with my World Trade Center and 9/11 attacks before the show. Remember exactly what office at the Pentagon, but I remember
the Defense Department. The Defense Department is the part that got hit. The exact organization or agency that was missing $3.2 trillion in a recent audit. And
yeah, I know
under Biden,
that the whole
it was supposed to be audited again, and he stopped the audit again. I'm a little bit up to speed on this stuff. Trust me. There's something going on here where they're funneling
that
money
audit,
through the Defense
they?
Department. No. Well, no,
they
did. And Biden stopped it. They did, and Biden stopped it.
Huh. Now, why would a Democrat step in and stop an investigation into a Republican administration?
It's proof, Chris, that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are wings of the same bird. It's proof. They're all working together. Like George Carlin says, and I've said this a million times, and it's almost getting sickening, but I'll say it one more time. What the hell? They're in a big club, and you're not in it. And the FBI, the CIA, all these agencies are weaponized against. You think they're there to protect you? They are there to protect the best interests of the people that employ them. Remember that.
There to protect you. They are there to protect their bosses from you.
Exactly. Does anybody really really think that they give two shits about you? I know damn well that if they had. Listen, I'm not popular enough or loud enough for them to take matters into their own hands and pull a Seth Rich on me, you know, and stage a robbery in broad daylight or shoot me in the back of the head twice with no weapon found and then label it a suicide like they maybe did with Gary Webb. But I'm not – if I got loud enough and popular enough where people started following me and or you or us – and we started gaining popularity, kind of like Joe Rogan. He has those controversial interviews
like with Malone, Dr. Malone, the one that created the mRNA vaccination. He created that. Twitter banned him for life the day before he went on Rogan's podcast. If Rogan continues down the path he's going, he'll have a sudden accident. You can best believe
Isn't that funny?
Those kind of people do.
I'm actually glad you brought that up. I mean, the guy that invented the mRNA technology gets banned from social media for speaking out against the political agenda. I mean, you talk about trust the science. You're gonna silence the guy who actually invented this damn technology, but we're trusting the science.
Well, yeah, that's what the liberals tell all the liberals tell. Trust the science, do your part. Good God Almighty, if you say one more CNN talking point as your defense, I'm going to puke. And like I told a lady today on social media, I said, I went to her profile picture because she accused me of not knowing what I was talking about. Well, I'm pretty well versed in my research of things that I do, and I went to her Facebook page just to see what her posts were. It's kind of feel her mindset out. Well, I did that, and every single article she reposted or shared was CNN, CNN, CNN. So I just commented back. I said, you do realize that your trusted source of media, CNN, as it may be, they're starting to collapse. I think Donald Duck has more viewers than CNN, and CNN, a lot of their people are getting accused of sex trafficking, sexual assault, sexual harassment involving minors. The one producer is accused of trying to groom a 9-year-old to be his servant. And his response, or a quote that allegedly he said, was, a woman is a woman regardless of age. And you choose to continue to follow along with these misfits. And here's what it was, is some lady was on there, or a girl that was commenting under the same post, and she shared a news source from operanews.com. And the lady that I responded back to laughed at that and said, Opera News, give me a break. Like, they have no credibility at all. It's just like they do to us, Chris. If somebody took our talking points and shared it with their friend, and they said, well, where'd you hear that from? I found this new blog talk radio show called the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. They would be like,
right?
You know what would happen. What the hell would the Disrespected Trucker, who the hell are they? Nobody knows who they are. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You don't have to be well-known to know what the F you're talking about. Okay, I know that some of this stuff is out there. Yeah, it's out there, some of the stuff. But there's some of the stuff that we talk about that is really out there that happens to be true. Now, we have our opinions and our conspiracy theories because we don't have facts to back some of this stuff up. But our critical thinking makes you ask the question, oh, yeah, why would that be? Or how could that be? That's what it's all about, folks. Don't sit
back and just accept
what the TV tells you. Go ahead, Chris.
You bring me to a point I actually wanted to get to, and I wanted to bring up for the audience just to kind of – I want to talk a little bit about our future with our audience. And, you know, a lot of people confuse popularity with credibility, okay? That's as bad of a mistake as confusing education with intelligence, okay? I have met so many people with college degrees that are absolute morons. You can't confuse education and intelligence. You just can't. By the same token, you cannot confuse popularity with credibility. I don't care how many million viewers CNN has. When you can go in and you can prove that their credibility sucks, their credibility sucks. I don't care how much people like you. A lie is a lie. And how big of an audience you have has nothing to do with whether or not you're giving out, you know, distributing true, accurate, correct information. And so what we're starting to see as a result of this, because people are starting to catch on to this, believe it or not, you are beginning to see the rise of independent media. I think Tim Pool, who is just basically a guy who started off in the mainstream broadcast media world and basically said, screw this, I'm tired of lying to people, and went out on his own and did his own thing. He's getting more viewers now on social media platforms and in his podcast than CNN is getting in a lot of places, because people more and more are turning to these independent media sources. Why? Because the people who are independent, their opinions are not being bought by Pfizer. Their opinions are not being bought and paid for by Tide or Coca-Cola or any number of these Fortune 500 companies. Coca-Cola, yeah. Any number of these Fortune 500 companies who have basically been, I say, compromised. I'm just going to leave it right there. They've been compromised by whatever power. And so people are turning to it. And that's why I would like to say to the people in our listening audience, that hopefully someday soon, we're working on this, Jeremy and I are working on this, you can also be our viewing audience. We are working on some platforms and some broadcasting software where we can actually start doing a live video podcast, and we're looking at several different platforms that we can do that on. The reason being that we're going to use multiple platforms is that way we don't have to worry about getting banned on any one particular platform. We will be very soon, next week, I should be getting our Disrespected Trucker page started on Rumble. And we'll be, I think you talked about it, like Twitch and Getter. We'll be on a lot of platforms. And when we do go to our video broadcast, we will be streaming that across many, many platforms so that we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket. And if we happen to upset the mommy basement dwelling fact checkers over at Facebook and they decide to cancel out our page, you've got many other places that you can just say, okay, well, I guess I can't follow them there anymore. I'll just follow them over here. You'll be able to see us. You'll be able to tune in. You'll be able to watch our shows. You can still, of course, always come back here to Blog Talk Radio, which is not ran by international communists. And you can always listen to us. And, you know, Jeremy or I, either one, ever had the idea that we were going to be huge internet radio or video broadcast personalities. We're just two guys that are basically fed up with the lies we're being told, and we just want to start we just want to help spread the truth some more. And so we thank you for being here, and just wanted to share that news that, you know what, we're going to branch this thing out a little bit more and try to reach some more people and include some more callers. We absolutely love it when people call in to us, and hopefully some of our haters will start calling in soon, because I think it'd be a lot of fun to get into it with some of our haters. I know you have a bunch of haters.
They don't have. Oh, dude. they got me banned off of TikTok, number one. Okay. Let me piggyback on to what Chris is saying there first. Okay. If you want to follow us along on all of our social media platforms, not just Facebook, I know Chris doesn't have access to all of it, but it's basically our thoughts. It's my thoughts, but I know Chris agrees with 90% of it. So, but you can go to YouTube. I will start being doing more videos on YouTube here in the near future. I had to take it easy for a little bit. I'll explain why here in a second. But I am on YouTube, The Disrespected Trucker, okay? Twitter, The Disrespected Trucker. Getter, The Disrespected. Not Trucker, just The Disrespected. I find Getter is a little bit more, I haven't been threatened on Getter yet. I don't think I have enough following on Twitter yet to be threatened. Well, wait a minute, I take that back. I did get banned for 3 days on Twitter already. Facebook, they got me. They've already warned me numerous times that I'm spreading false information, even after I fact-checked it on the CDC website, whatever. So, but they do this to me on Facebook. So they can silence me and censor me. And what they do is they give me that warning, and since I'm a repeat offender of spreading false information, which, again, I have verified that information, they put me down lower in their algorithms as far as in the news feed. You don't get to see me until 3 days or 4 days later. Then all of a sudden I'll pop up and I'm like, oh, shit, I missed it. Thankfully, with the Blog Talk Radio, these broadcasts are recorded. And when I share that link, you can share that link 110,000 million trillion times, and this broadcast is recorded.
We don't
recorded. It stays.
The Facebook page.
They can't shut
away,
me down.
We still have the links to our episodes that we can share out in other places, and so Jeremy's got all those pages. I have opened up a Rumble account under the name Chris Bikerson. I will be, for those of you, if anyone here ever followed my show, The Current View, that I used to do on Diesel Alley Motor Cult. I will still be broadcasting that on Diesel Alley Motor Cult, but I will also be posting those episodes on my personal Rumble account. And then, like I said, within the next week here, I plan to get the Disrespected Trucker on the Rumble account as well, and we will be broadcasting whenever we start our video broadcast. We'll be posting those on Rumble as well as the other sites that we're set up on. But yeah, this way, you know what, the bastards can't kick us down. They can take us away at one spot, and we'll just have everything posted out somewhere else. So you can't kill the truth.
No, and that's right. We speak too much truth for the elite and for big tech and for the media. I want people to understand one thing, okay? Those of you that watch CNN or Fox or any of the news sources, the mainstream media we call them, and you believe that CNN is the gospel to news, or whatever news source that you listen to that is involved with mainstream media, I want you to understand something. Back in the Obama era, there was, what's the word I'm looking for, Chris? They redid the Smith-Mundt Act. That's M-U-N-D-T. And I know our loyal listeners have heard me say this a million times, and they're probably like, oh, my God, Jeremy, not again. They repealed the Smith-Mundt Act.
They repealed it, yeah.
And the Smith-Mundt Act was issued by a senator in South Dakota and someone else. It was Senator Mundt, I believe, and senators or whatever. You would look it up. But it was in the shortly before the end of the World War II era. It was there to protect people from the media, the mainstream media, having propaganda spread through the mainstream media from your government. And under the Obama era.
They took a good look at what Adolf Hitler did in the Nazi regime with how they took control of the media and started using the media for their own party's propaganda so that you could only hear the one political party's version of events. You could only hear one side. And you had a couple of congressmen that looked at that and they learned from it. And they said, you know what? We need to put something in place that will prevent the United States government from ever being able to do what the Nazis just did. Why would you repeal that, Jeremy?
So you can do what the Nazis just did. And unfortunately, folks, and this is where this hurts me. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart, because I voted Democrat my whole life up until recently. But this is why it hurts me, because I'm trying to warn you folks that this Smith-Mundt Act was repealed under the Obama era. I didn't even realize it until about a year ago. Why did they repeal that
and make it legal for government spread propaganda under the Obama era. Now, everybody wants to say, well, Obama was one of the best presidents we've ever had. I'm going to tell you something about Obama. He is very charismatic and very well-spoken and very convincing, but also very manipulating and a professional at what he does. He wasn't placed as president, or he wasn't voted in as President Obama. He was placed as President Obama by the people that want you to believe the propaganda that's coming out of the mainstream media. Now, you notice, as a person that maybe leaned toward the left, you watch your left news sources, and they brutalize and criminalize the right. They're calling parents at the PTA meetings. They're domestic terrorists. Those of us, I'm a trucker. I've been involved in many trucking protests, peacefully, by the way, many trucking protests. We've never once hurt anybody or broke any laws.
We never blocked the road.
Right. We were using our guaranteed constitutional rights of free speech and the right to peacefully assemble. And recently, there was a man down in Kentucky that got fed up with all the bullshit and decided that he was going to set up a nationwide protest, in which case they were going to pull off to the shoulder of the roads and on interstates and hold up signs and say, you know, whatever his message was. And Hamilton County Attorney DA come out and said that if you do this, if you block any of our roads, we're going to rip you out of your truck and throw you in jail and charge you with felonies. Now, remember, folks, this is after all the riots that happened all last summer, where Black Lives Matter and Portland actually took over, a three-square city block of Portland or Seattle, wherever the hell, the Chaz Zone or whatever. Did they get charged with felonies? Did the people, the folks up in I-35, when they marched down I-35 blocking the road, did they get charged with felonies? No, they did not. So if you think we're full of shit, you better look back at what happened last summer. Well, I never seen that on CNN. Of course you didn't. You didn't see it on any mainstream media, barely. You want to go up? Here's a good news source for all of you. He's very conservative, and if you're a leftist, you're going to be irritated right away. But go to Citizen Stringer News with Stephen Oatley. He live-streamed every riot and every protest all year last year via YouTube. He had numerous different people all over the country. We watched a lot of it. And if you guys think you're being told the truth through your mainstream media sources, they've gotten you hook, line, and sinker. When I compare this to Nazi Germany, people, they look at me and they say to me, how dare you compare this to what those Jews went through? You know, there was a genocide of over 6 million Jews. Where the hell do you think that started from? It started with propaganda. And you folks, including myself at one point, was too blind to see it because I didn't want to see it. But go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right there. And, you know, whenever we do make the parallels between current times and Nazi Germany, we're not comparing ourselves to the Holocaust. What we're comparing is the current events to the events that led up to the Holocaust, because what you have in common between the two is the mindset, the one-party control of information, the blaming of...
Wait a minute, Chris. Are you unvaccinated?
yeah.
All right, you go get on the train car
for your
right
safety.
Now. They're going to bring you to a camp. I've heard this. Literally, I've heard this from people. Go get on the
you shouldn't be allowed to fill a hospital bed if you're unvaccinated. You shouldn't be allowed to fill,
right.
This is what the vaccinated person said. You should not be allowed to fill our hospital beds. Our, they say, our.
Right. Our.
Like the vaccinated own the hospitals.
Do you know that one of the big things that Hitler drove into the minds of Germans were that the Jews were carriers of disease, and that was mm-hmm. part of the reason that they needed to cut them out of society was because their filthy lifestyles were spreading disease amongst the German population. What does that sound like as you know, MSNBC and CNN tell you that, oh, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, which is absolutely not true if you follow the actual numbers. And then they tell you that, oh, most of the people who are unvaccinated are white and conservative, which, again, is completely untrue if you follow the numbers. They're clearly – they're pointing at their enemy. The leftist Democrats are pointing at the right wing. They are pointing at conservatives and saying these conservatives are carriers of disease. They are spreading disease amongst us. They are taking our hospital bed. I mean, literally the rhetoric, the parallels is just amazing to anyone who's actually willing to invest a few minutes to study. But I've been amazed at how many people, when the January 6th thing happened and everyone started calling it an insurrection, and I started kind of pointing out to people about the little bit of an insurrection that happened in June of 2020. I don't remember the exact date now. I wasn't prepared to talk about that tonight. But in June, I'm wanting to say it was like June 26th or something like that of 2020, BLM and Antifa and their supporters actually attacked the White House. The current sitting president, Donald Trump, at that time, was inside the White House at the time when they led that attack. They led an assault on the White House, and their stated mission was that they were trying to force their way into the White House to remove, by force, the sitting president.
Mm-hmm.
Involved fire and everything else, and went on for like 2 days. Over 60 Secret Service personnel and other federal agents were injured trying to fight the crowds back from scaling the fence. They were trying to scale the fence, and the Secret Service and federal agents were trying to stop the rioters from actually getting over the fences, and they were throwing Molotov cocktails and everything else. There were burn victims.
Hey, Chris,
and everything. But that never got
a month.
Do you have any idea how many people don't even know that happened?
But a month before that happened, you know, like literally not even a month before that happened, guess who was sitting down on Constitution Avenue for 21 straight days? Do you know, have any idea?
Yeah, I do.
I was one of those people, and a lot of my friends were down there on Constitution Avenue. Hey, listen, folks, listen very carefully, very carefully. We had over 200 trucks at any given time for 21 straight days sitting on the south lawn of the White House on Constitution Avenue for 21 straight days. They didn't have any fencing up. The Secret Service actually came over and grilled out with us, and we fed them lunch. They were very respectful toward us. We were very respectful toward them. We weren't trying to overtake the White House or overtake our government. We were there exercising our constitutional right of peacefully assembly and getting our point across that we were tired of what was going on in this country involving the trucking industry. Now, remember, listen to this, folks, and listen carefully. Shortly after we left, right before Memorial Day, the George Floyd incident happened. These folks, the leftists, Antifa, BLM, and I'm going to get to a real quick point, all went to like Chris was just saying, went to Washington, D.C., defaced every statue, memorial, and tried to break into the White House, tried to jump over fencing. In the early 80s, a woman by the name of Susan Rosenberg,
actually bombed the Capitol, literally bombed the Capitol. And she was pardoned by Bill Clinton. You can look all this up,
right,
folks.
All
she was pardoned. Yep, and guess what? Guess where Susan Rosenberg ended up? She ended up being the president for... She was handling the donations coming into Black Lives Matter. Not Black Lives Matter, the organization,
yep,
but an organization that was giving Black Lives Matter their funding. She ended up being in charge of that. Now, you need to start putting the dots together, ladies and gentlemen, and this goes all the way back to the Kim Potter. I know we get off on a tangent here and throw you a lot of information, but all this ties in. It goes way back, and it goes way forward, and then back again. But this all ties in with the Kim Potter case. Kim Potter is being made an example of, I believe, in my opinion, to further these actual terrorists' agenda. And I didn't mean to interrupt you again, Chris. I do that quite often, and I apologize. I'm going to have to start sending you Venmo money or something. I don't know. But,
I take cash.
To continue
habits,
on with that. Well, wait a minute. Chris.
Yeah.
Before you
okay.
do, call-in number, guys. If you're listening to this and you want to share your opinion, seriously, if you disagree, come on. We're here. We're ready. 516, okay? Put this in your phone, 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. And once you get through, just press the number 1. That'll let us know on a switchboard, hey, I want to talk. I got something to say. We'll throw you through right away. Not a problem. But, Chris, continue on.
All right, so the point I was getting at was I would bring that up to people on the left whenever they would talk about the January 6th insurrection. And I would say, well, you know, what about June? Like I said, I think it was the 26th. You know, what about June 26th, you know, when, you know, for 2 days, you know, these rioters tried to, you know, actually force their way into the White House to remove the press. And people are like, that never happened. What are you talking about? And it was only then, after I kept getting that response from so many people, I realized that nobody actually knew about that. And I only knew about it because of coverage by people like Steve Oatley with Citizen Stringer News, because I was watching in real time, live, as it was happening when they were doing it. And I saw all the views that were going on. I just assumed that it was common knowledge, that everyone was aware that BLM and Antifa was actually trying to overrun the White House to forcefully remove a sitting president. But you know what? It got no mainstream coverage, including, you know, the fair-haired child of the political right, Fox News. They didn't really talk about it either. So nobody realizes that this actual attempted insurrection happened. And so it makes it really difficult, because I'm realizing, and this is how they keep us so polarized, people on one side are living inside an echo chamber, and the mainstream media is their echo chamber. They get no information regarding other events that are happening, other things that are happening. They only hear their opinion repeated back to them, and it just feeds into their political animosity, and they're aware, they are never aware that their side does anything wrong, anything improper, because they don't hear about it. There's no coverage. One party is controlling the narrative right now. And you're getting a little bit of pushback from Fox News. Not much, because Fox got bought up by Disney. And we all know that Disney is right there in bed with Coca-Cola and all the other leftist corporations. But the Tucker Carlson show, you know, it's unfortunately Tucker is so popular that they kind of got to continue letting him do his thing. But even Tucker doesn't report on all things like maybe he should. I know he failed to disclose some former close relations with Hunter Biden, And that might have had something to do with his lack of coverage of Hunter Biden right before the election. I just want you to think back to high school and the popular crowd, and either you were popular or you weren't, and if you were popular, everything you did was golden, and if you weren't popular, who gives a shit? Nobody heard about anything good you did. And that's the world we live in. You know, one side is able to claim all this glory, and everything they do is golden, and you don't hear anything else. You don't hear anything opposing, no opposing viewpoints to the one party. And I'm just going to call them the party, just like in the novel 1984. You don't question the party. You don't speak out against the party. The party controls everything. The party controls the news. And we've even seen it to where, I mean, Merriam-Webster's dictionary is literally changing the definition of words on a daily basis at this point to fit the political agenda of the left. And, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, back when everybody still had an actual Merriam-Webster dictionary, you know, the old hardback copy that, you know, was like, was it 4 inches thick, you know, with every word known to the English language listed in there with a black and white definition on paper that they couldn't just go back and change. Yeah, nobody has those anymore. And so definitions exist in an online format, and they can go in and they can change those at 1 o'clock in the morning, and nobody knows any different, and you have no means of going back and saying, wait a minute, this was your definition last week, unless you just happen to screenshot it. You know, again, unlike back in the 1980s and the 1990s when we all had a hardback copy, and you could literally just say, no, bullshit, this was your definition before. Here it is right here on page 342. Here it is. See it? You can't do that anymore. And so we are in the times of 1984 where literally the party can go in, the Ministry of Information can change the definition of words to fit their agenda at a moment's notice.
Yeah, just a case in point. If you have one of those dictionaries, why don't you go ahead and go back and take a look at the word vaccine and tell me what that word says or what it means in a paperback book. I'll fast forward here a little bit. The old definition was to eradicate yourself from whatever you were being vaccinated against. Such a smoke, eradicated in 1977. Okay? Now fast forward to today. That's not the same definition. They changed
it recently. I believe
recently.
The definition changed September 1st of 2021, if I'm not mistaken.
Of what a vaccination is?
Yeah, or maybe it was October 1st. I think, someone actually posted screenshots of the online Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition of vaccine. They had one definition for like October 26th or something like that, or September 26th, and then they had the new definition on like October 2nd. But they're like,
Do you want to know what it says now?
Go ahead.
It says a substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against one or several diseases, prepared from the causative agent of a disease, its products, or a synthetic substitute, treated to act as an antigen without inducing the disease. The complete different explanation of what the definition of vaccine means. And we're seeing now with the push of this COVID-19 vaccine, and the leftists, this drives the leftists nuts when I say this, and I don't care. But they're changing the very definition of what a vaccination means in order to fit the narrative coming out of Big Pharma, who is filling and lining the pockets of all these politicians that are going along with this narrative. And I'm telling you, folks, you're being lied to, and we've been screaming this from the top of our lungs just recently. First of all, there's whistleblowers out of the Ventura, California, Ventura County, California area, nurses, healthcare workers. Another one that just came out, if I could remember where she came, North Carolina, I want to say, whistleblower. She said that these vaccines, and they said, I should say, according to them, that these COVID-19 vaccines are killing more children than the virus itself. Now, these are whistleblowers, and I know I've gotten it from all sides when I say this stuff. You know, who do you think you are? How do you know? These are experts, blah, blah, blah. You know who I believe are the experts that actually live it? And I've heard numerous stories from a lot of my followers about vaccine, permanent vaccine injuries and deaths. And when I post anything about what VAERS website says, V-A-E-R-S, which is directly linked to the CDC, I get tagged for false information stating that VAERS is not an official vaccine injury reporting site, that it's just a suggestion for the FDA to start investigating. Okay,
for the FDA to investigate.
Yeah, okay, so go to the VAERS website if it's a starting point. You biased fact checkers from Facebook, go to VAERS website and look up vaccine injury reports from vaccines all the way back from the beginning of time. And it goes from 5,000 here, 10,000 here, maybe 20,000 here, to over 1 million, way over 1 million current vaccine.
Now, hold on, Jeremy.
And you're going to try to... You're going to try to tell me that there's – come on, dude, that I'm fake news?
Now, hold on, Jeremy. I have to slip this in. I know how much leftists appreciate a good hockey stick-shaped graph. I know that because of an inconvenient truth with Al Gore. And the whole climate change thing, and everyone knows the famous hockey stick, you know, that showed the rise in CO2 levels and global temperatures. Leftist, if you're listening right now, I know that you love hockey stick graphs. Go and look at the graphs of VAERS reported injuries and deaths associated with vaccines going back over the last 30 years. You will see a most definite hockey stick in 2020 and 2021 over the COVID-19 vaccine. And I know because you put all of your faith and your very being in hockey stick graphs, as soon as you see that, you will become a solid believer in what we are saying here on the Disrespected Trucker. Good Lord.
Same him, brother. No, they won't. You know that. I know that. They'll look
I
at
know.
That and say, well, the Facebook fact checker said that's false information. It's like, holy shit. I mean, how many times do we got to warn you folks before you just let it resonate in your head? Just like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe there isn't something right here. Why is that number so high compared to previous vaccinations? Well, let me just be the first one to inform you that according to experts that are being censored, that the death rate from this vaccination is higher than every other vaccination in the history of mankind put together, ladies and gentlemen. Those are experts that are being censored, not experts like the Disrespected Trucker who gets censored for fake news or false news for sharing an article. But these are actually doctors. These are actually healthcare workers. These are actually
people. Chief virologist of 44 years from Canada.
These are Dr. Malones that actually created the mRNA vaccination.
Yeah. Former vice president and chief scientist of respiratory illnesses at Pfizer. I mean, what the hell does that guy know? I mean, come on. There are experts, absolute experts, who have been completely and totally shut down in their careers and on social media.
because they are telling you something that the politicians don't like.
The truth.
Yeah.
And here's another thing I want you to ask yourself if you're of the opposing view standpoint, okay? When you say, good, they're spreading false information, I want you to stop for 1 second and say, but what if they're not? What if they are really being censored? Which I know they are, but that's my, never mind. Just ask yourself that question. That's what we're here to do. We're not here to convince you to agree with us. We're here to
have you ask yourself some questions. We don't have 20 years worth of data on this virus or on this vaccine like we do others. So what if in these early stages and there's formative opinions before the data comes in, what if you are actually wrong? What if you're believing the wrong experts?
Well, what if you're wrong, Chris? What if you're wrong for not getting vaccinated and you're the cause?
So what? Here's the funny thing. I am open to that possibility. I have been open to that possibility all along. I actually, the very start of this whole pandemic thing, before the lockdowns even started occurring, I started looking at CDC numbers and doing my own assessments of the numbers worldwide before all the hoopla started. And all along, I kept my mind open to the idea that maybe this is something as bad as they are saying. And, you know, I honestly, I do not want to be the guy that ignores a relevant piece of information that might kill me. I am not one of Darwin's children. I'm sorry. You know, me and my family and my friends and our ability to stay alive is of the utmost importance to me. And so I do my own critical thinking. I've spent enough time on the streets. I've been exposed to the media and how it operates. And as a former operative of government, I've been exposed to the government, and I understand how government operates. And because of my experience with media and government and the streets, I don't trust no damn body, okay? That's the only way I know how to put it. I don't trust no damn body. I do my own assessment. I look at critical information, and I listen to experts from both sides of an argument before I make a decision for myself. Because, again, if the media is telling me to do something, I automatically assume someone's paid for that information. So I do my own in-depth analysis, and I call upon experts from many different areas that have not had their opinions bought and paid for in order to form my opinions. So, yes, I walked
in
accepting that this might be a very realistic thing. And yeah.
Do you want this to end, folks? I'll tell you how this ends. And instead of wearing a mask in your face, and instead of hiding behind closed doors, and instead of alienating people out of your life because they're not vaccinated or they are vaccinated, instead, here's how we end this. And this is honest God truth. You put a mask over your eyes and earplugs in your ears and shut off the stupid-ass television that is feeding you this propaganda. And as soon as you do that, you're going to see how quickly things become normal again. Now, I got in a little disagreement with somebody here recently on social media again, because I like doing that. But there is a news article out, and they said that the flu, after a historic low last year, has come back with a vengeance. So they're starting to change the narrative now again, okay? Well, this person comes and says that's because people were complying and masking up and social distancing. That's why the flu didn't exist. And I said, my response was, okay, well, if that's the case, that everybody was complying and it basically almost eradicated the flu virus, shouldn't that have eradicated the COVID-19 virus also? Because they're both viruses after all. And her response to me was, you're a dumbass. You obviously don't know how viruses work. Yeah, I don't have an MD in front of my disrespected trucker name, but I could tell you one thing right now. That's my response right there. I can't even with these people anymore. Like, if you're protected from COVID by wearing a mask and social distancing, then you shouldn't have got COVID. Okay, but the COVID, oh my shit and God, the people are getting COVID left and right, just like they are now. And they're blaming it on the Omicron variant, right? And now the CDC admits recently or today or yesterday that it, in fact, is the Delta variant. And I've heard from healthcare workers that said the Delta variant actually is like the coronavirus on steroids. That's pretty harsh. I've actually lost somebody very close to me recently from, complications from COVID. They found out that, he had some other underlying health issues. He was in his late 60s. Doesn't make it any less painful. It sucks, but any death, who was the doctor? Who was it that said, basically? If you want the real numbers, until we separate the numbers that you died from COVID or you died with COVID, we will never know what the true COVID numbers are. And listen, people call us anti-vaxxers. They call us this, they call us that. We're not anti-vaxxers. We do believe the virus exists, but we do believe that the numbers have been hugely inflated in order to control people as much as they have. Look at Australia. They had one case in, what was it, Queensburg? And they shut down, like put everybody in lockdown to the point that they started pushing these vaccines so hard. They had the stadium there. They brought all these kids to the stadium. Stu Peters talked about it, and they blocked him off of Twitter permanently. They had all these kids go to the stadium without the parents' consent. If the parents fought it, they would be arrested. So all these kids went to the stadium to get vaccinated, and three children died shortly after the vaccination. And people are like, well, they were doing their part. You know, 3 out of 10,000 isn't so bad. Yeah, it is. One shouldn't have died, because with children, the recovery rate for children if they get COVID before was 99.8 or 99.9%. Like, there was very few children that died from COVID itself. This vaccine, I've talked to numerous people personally that have permanent disability because of this vaccine. They have loved ones that have died shortly after taking either the first, the second dose, or the third dose, the booster, from this vaccine. Well, that just can't be. I mean, the news doesn't say that. No. And the news and the social media, the big tech, the government, they're censoring every single person that speaks the truth. And not only that, they're doubling down, and they're calling us conspiracy theorists, that we're dangerous, that we're this, that we're that, and trying to discredit us at all costs. Why would they do that, folks? Because they are in the back pocket of Big Pharma. Why did Moderna go from $50 a share to over $400 a share in 6 months? And why is half of Congress invested in Moderna? And why did Nancy Pelosi say, I don't think it's wrong that politicians invest in the stock market? And why do you think Nancy Pelosi's husband invested millions and millions and millions of dollars into certain companies 2 days before she said that? Ladies and gentlemen, these people are evil. They care nothing about you or your well-being. They care about their well-being, their financial gains, and their money. That's the bottom line. And you heard that here first on the Disinspected Drucker Radio Show. Can I get an amen? See, we got one guy on board here.
Well,
buddy, we had a hell of a show tonight. You know what? We're a little bit over our 2 hours. We're allotted three, but we like to keep it at two because we don't want people to sit there and be like, oh, my God, when does this guy shut up? I never shut up. Chris knows that. That's why he only calls me once a week.
I don't shut up either.
But that's why we fight. No, we don't fight. But, no, listen, everybody, if you're listening to the show, for Kim Potter's sake, please share this show out. Let them hear the different points of view that I pointed out earlier in the show to let everybody know that it's not as cut and dry as what the prosecution or the media makes it out to be. It's just not that easy. And remember, what's the hardest decision that you've made as a human being? Whether to buy, you know, $3.59 gas at that gas station or drive across town and buy $3.39 a gallon gas. And I'm not making funny if that's your hardest decision. I'm just saying. Now put yourself in her situation. She's already, you know, fighting with a criminal and I just want you to put yourself in her situation. Quit letting the media and the court of public opinion and whatever the popular opinion is on your site that you follow, let them dictate your thoughts. You are your own person. You have your own thoughts. And don't be afraid to go against the grain. Trust me, you're going to get ridiculed. It sucks. And sometimes, you know what, if you want to go against the grain and you don't want to share your thoughts on it because you think that there's something not right, don't share your thoughts. You don't have to. If somebody asks you, well, what do you think about this? Just tell them, yeah, you know, I really haven't paid attention to it. I really don't have an opinion. And then they're going to share their opinion and try to force you into what their thoughts are. You don't have to do that. Let them talk. Let them share their opinion. They have that right. You don't have to agree with them, and you don't have to argue with them. Just move on. But for God's sake, people, start thinking for yourself. Start asking the questions, the hard questions. Why is this the way it is? Why is this one saying that and that one saying this? Why are they completely opposite of what I'm hearing? I mean on both sides. If you're for the vaccination or against the vaccination, or if you're for Kim Potter or against Kim Potter, start asking yourself all the questions and come to your own conclusion. We're so easily influenced by social media and the thoughts of other people that we forget to think for ourselves and have our own thoughts and inform our own opinions. So on that note,
amen,
ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you very much for listening to our show. I hope you share us out everywhere you possibly can. The show is recorded. It's available all the time. And we're on air every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time to talk about numerous subjects and share our tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theories. And sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, and sometimes we argue. But at the end of the day,
I want my closing
we're all Americans.
Here.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you a closing statement. But at the end of the day, we are all Americans. We're all brothers and sisters under Jesus Christ. And if you don't like that, I don't care. I swear, I cuss. But that's who I believe in. And you don't have to. That's your business. That's mine. Lord, have mercy on my soul because... Chris, share your closing statement, my brother.
All right. Here we go, my closing statement. If it really is about all of us stepping up to do our part, then I think you should demand that the millionaires and billionaires who are reveling in their profits from the shares they hold in the pharmaceutical companies who have profited tens of billions of dollars per quarter since these mandates started taking place. Ask them to do their part and stop being shielded from liability if their product is as safe as they say it is. Put your profits on the line, buddy. Do your part And that's all I have to say about that.
And on that note, again, before we leave you, please pay attention to what the sentencing is on this Kim Potter trial. And let's not this be more of a misjustice, a miscarriage of justice than it already has been. However, I have to have respect for our judicial system, even though I think we need a major overhaul in this country. You've got a truck driver in Colorado that gets sentenced to 110 years for an accident, regardless of what happened. A normal case like that, it's 3 to 5 years. Now you fast forward to Kim Potter, a police officer that she didn't have prior problems. She was, in all good terms, an outstanding police officer that was doing her job, and you're criminalizing her, and you're making the criminal the victim. And you're not holding the criminal. You're not holding the criminal to accountability or responsibility for his actions. So, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show this Thursday, fine Thursday evening. We'll be back again next Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Central, only on Unplugged Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you to them for giving us this platform. And we will see you next year. Yes, we will see you next year.
That's right, next year.
At 7 p.m. Central. And you guys have a spectacular night.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yep, and a Happy New Year to all of you. God bless each and every one of you. And please, God bless Kim Potter and pray for her. Have a great night. God bless.